Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you. I'm going to invite you at some point in time, if you feel the Holy Spirit charging through your body and you want to say amen, you can say that. Let's try that out. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, Jack may, on the other hand, try to tell you that you may want to say something like, bring him back, Jesus, bring him back.
Help him, Lord.
Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Now, I got a lot of help with this sermon this week, and maybe I could use a little bit more help from the Lord, but if you hear Jack going, help him, Lord, I want you to go, amen. Okay, so let's try that out. Jack, hear me out.
Help him, Lord.
Amen.
There we go. All right. Did you know that the story of Nelson Mandela includes the Midvale Methodist Church? You know that?
Yep.
You did know that. All right, Kathy Wheeler knows that. You know why? Because sometime back in the 19-teens or the early 1920s, Midvale Methodist Church paid its connectional responsibilities back to the big church in the sky. In those days, that was probably up in the north somewhere, probably in Chicago. Chicago? Amen? Come on. All right. And the Methodist Church said, we're going to create a little bitty school for children in South Africa. And a young man whose last name was Mandela, with a first name that has one of these, you know, lots of M's and S's and T's and Z's and no vowels. I have no idea where the vowels went. All right. He shows up at that church. You know how many schools there were for children of color in South Africa in 1924? The answer is one. Can you tell me how many there were?
One.
How many?
One.
How many?
One.
And you know who sponsored it? The Methodist Church. The Methodist Church. You have an amen there? Amen. You never have an idea. You never know exactly what kind of fruit you're going to get from the planting of an educational seed with a child. And the world, through the nurture of Midvale Methodist Church and thousands of other churches, helped with that education of a man that later in life was called to be Nelson Mandela. That school gave him his first name. His first name wasn't known to that English-speaking teacher. So she, about the second grade, says, "Your name's Nelson." He says himself he had no idea why she chose that name, but his last name hung with him. Now, I want to make sure we all understand that Nelson Mandela was no saint. He was no saint. Early in life, he lost his first wife because of serial adultery, just over and over and over again. He just could not stay faithful. Early in his life, he was part of a community called the African National Congress, which used the same violence that was being placed upon them to place that violence back on the white community in South Africa. He was a nonconformist in many ways. He was expected to marry within his tribe. And he very early on said, "No, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to marry outside of my tribe." So very early in his life, he decided to follow a different path than that which was precisely laid out for him. It was almost like he was Moses to the people in South Africa, to the black citizens of South Africa. This wonderful passage we have out of the book of Exodus tells us that Pharaoh tells Moses to go God tells Moses to go speak to the strongest man in that universe, in that world, in which Moses says, and said, go tell the man of power that I want you to let my people go. What does he tell him? Let me try it one more time. I'm going to do a Roberta downbeat. Ready?
Let my people go.
And it's important there in that passage. It's not just let my people go. There's a so that. There's an important element of that for us. So that they may worship me. It's not just freedom for the sake of freedom. It's rather freedom for the sake of God's world can be extended just a little bit in this world. Unfortunately, the powers of this new Moses were not as telling in the short term, in the immediate time, as the powers of Moses in Exodus, where Moses goes and tells Pharaoh, "Let my people go," and eventually he does indeed let the people go. Nelson Mandela will go and serve nearly 30 years in jail. His sentence was literally to make small rocks out of big rocks. That's indeed what he was asked to do. And while he was there, he would use the music very similar to what we sang today, both the youth choir and the adult choir. And he would use that music in order to encourage people to come to a place of hope. They would use their whole body to talk to each other about how the man, about how the power of the oppression, how the Pharaoh was not going to be able to defeat them. Can we have an amen there?
Amen.
Can we have an amen again?
Amen.
Now he would write in his book, Long Walk to Freedom, he would write, "Even in the grimmest times in prison, when my comrades and I were pushed to our limits, I would see a glimmer of humanity in one of the guards, perhaps just for a second. But it was enough to reassure me and keep me going. Man's goodness is a flame that can be hidden and never extinguished." The combination of music, the combination of his confidence, the fact that inside of each of us is a piece of God that is in no one else, allowed him to be able to overcome that oppression. We participated in that. The world decided that the outrage that existed, that was called apartheid, the separation of the races in South Africa, was unacceptable to the rest of the world, and we began a slow, long economic embargo of the Union of South Africa. De Klerk was the last white leader of South Africa, and he goes to see Mandela in prison, and he wants to negotiate something with him. He says, "I tell you what, I'm going to let you out immediately." Mandela says, "No, I need to get out in about 2 weeks. I need a little bit of time to structure that." Can you imagine that? Been in jail nearly 30 years. And he says, "No, I want to stay here at least a little longer." They compromise at 10 days. De Klerk wants him to be freed in Johannesburg. And he says, "No, I want to walk out of that gate right here." Can you imagine? He's talking to the man, the Pharaoh. And he's saying to the Pharaoh, "No, I don't want to leave on your conditions. I want to leave under conditions that would be helpful to the reconciliation of the people that are here." His own people, the African National Congress, want to almost have a civil war inside of South Africa. And the man who has been in jail for nearly 30 years says, "No, we're not going to do that. We are not going to do that. That's not who we're going to be. That's not the power that we're going to use. We're instead going to create truth and reconciliation. And bitterness is not going to enslave us." Paul tells us in the book of Galatians that we've been made free. Now, Paul is talking about then being made slaves again to the idea of having to be kosher, keep kosher in order to be a follower of Christ. But I would say to you that the idea here is also the idea of not becoming enslaved to something else. Mandela had the opportunity to become enslaved to bitterness. He had the opportunity to become enslaved to anger. He had the opportunity to become enslaved to retaliation. 30 years the man spent in jail making big rocks into little rocks. And he comes out of the jail empowered, ennobled, refusing to be a person enslaved by bitterness. Can we have an amen there?
Amen.
Now, what are we to take away from the life of Nelson Mandela? I would say that one of them is for us to understand that freedom is a community enterprise. Where did I put it? Right here. There we go. Jack, you could have been it. Help him, Lord. Help him, Lord. Amen. All right. He was right there. He was right. Mandela would write in Long Walk to Freedom, "Freedom is indivisible. The chains on any one of my people were the chains on all of them. The chains on all of my people were the chains on me." He could look out over the horizon. He could say, "I'm free." But he could say that as long as my fellow human beings are enslaved, are chained up, then we are all less than free. So one point I want to make with you is freedom is an enterprise that the community needs to take on. Fear can be debilitating. You could be, and I can't imagine what it was like for Moses to have to sort of marshal his energy and go tell the man that Pharaoh, that Yahweh has said, "Let my people go." But he did. I can't imagine the courage it takes to walk into a South African court filled with white people. You're the only black face there. And to have somebody sentence you to life in prison. And to be able to walk out of that with joy and hope. He didn't. He used that experience while he was in jail in order to help formulate his views, help crystallize his views. He refused to allow fear to intimidate him. He refused to allow fear to cause him to be a problem. Because deep down, he said, "I always knew that deep down in every human heart there is mercy and generosity." This is a man locked up for 30 years. No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. People must learn how to hate. If they learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its optimism. While he's in jail, he's able to formulate views of hope, views of optimism. Fear can indeed be debilitating. It can paralyze us. Or you can choose to be inspired by something higher. One of the things that inspired Mandela was music. I read a quote one time about the Greeks. 2,500 years ago, they didn't allow political conversation to occur along with music. It was too much for the people to deal with. You could get too excited there if you include politics and the idea of freedom and the rights of people along with music. It could be a scary thing. You just might get your whole body into that exercise. Amen?
Amen.
So, another thing I would invite us to do from today's idea of reflecting on Mandela is take a look at how he could see the good in everyone. He came out of prison and created truth and reconciliation. He chose not to be enslaved to bitterness. The song we sang today was about the idea about how God equips us and moves us out into the world. What a wonderful world we can move out into if we don't let ourselves become enslaved to the past. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
We worship a God who's in the hope business. Our God's in the hope business. Our God wants people to be hopeful. Our God wants us to be inspired by the stories of Jesus, by the stories of Moses, by the stories of Gideon. I mean, Gideon, the story of him, he's back in a cave hiding from the Philistines. And the angel of God hunts him down and says, I'm going to send you out and you're going to be a great king. He'll have some education to do there of young Gideon. But the point really is that our God wants us to be hopeful. We can inspire people by the reflection of God's light, reflection of God's glory back in the world, just as Nelson Mandela did, just as Midvale Methodist Church did, back to the big connection in the sky, to be able to make a difference in the world that became Nelson Mandela. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Amen. Nelson Mandela isn't just a local hero in South Africa. Nelson Mandela is a world hero. He's a man that we sit there and can look at the quality of his life. Not a perfect life. Not a perfect life. But a life that gives us tremendous strength, tremendous power, and tremendous hope. That's what I would hope that we can take away from today's reflection on Mandela as this first Sunday of our Black History Month. It's the idea of the fact that no matter how bleak the conditions, no matter how austere the world we live in, no matter how hopeless the world may seem, God is there. God is there in a powerful way, sometimes in the form of music, sometimes in the form of a glimmer of kindness from the eye of a guard, maybe sometimes just in the confidence in knowing that we are not alone. We are never alone.